The Truth News Network.
Identity politics is poisoning the American well of freedom.
There is an antidote.
It's right here at TNN,
Truth News Network.
For today's chapter, here's Dan Newman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Truth News Network. I'm Dan Newman. Glad you joined us. We are starting a brand new week. This is going to be a little different today. You'll find out why in a moment. The title of today's story is called simply one word, perspective. Now, I've always been a thinker. I've always mostly been quiet and pensive. And those of you that don't know me, you know my voice. I've got a fairly big voice. You might think, wow, quiet and pensive? How could he be a thoughtful guy? Well, I am. Just take my word for it. That has its benefits, but it certainly has its pitfalls. That mindset brings moments for me of insecurity and uncertainty about pretty much everything in my life. How people feel, what I need to do, what I don't need to do, what I shouldn't do, who I need to do it with, where I need to go, what's going to happen when I get there. I'm certain you know at least some of those feelings. Very early in my life, they kind of consumed me. I had some real serious health issues before I was 6 years old and had a bunch of surgeries, and that kind of set me back a bit in my emotional growth, and it took me a while. Fortunately, through a relationship with God, strong upbringing, and a really fantastic family, the older I grew, the easier it became to deal with the negative parts of my nature. I worked really hard to keep the thinking and the pensive parts permanently. I need those to be able to write or bring you these messages, at least write things that anybody is interested in reading or listening to. So, you probably know what I'm about to tell you. I've always been attracted to politics, even when I was little. I was born in 1953. I knew when Eisenhower was president. I don't remember when he was elected, but I do remember him being president, and I remember the very contentious election, the campaign between Richard Nixon and JFK, and I remember JFK winning, and I grew up in South Louisiana. And of course, when that election took place, South Louisiana is very Catholic, and that part of the state was elated that a Catholic had been elected to the White House. And I remember the horror. I was in fifth grade when he was shot, and I remember the horrors of all of that when it happened. So I watched politics when I was very, very young. Later, my entrepreneurship, I started and operated several companies with some success. That skewed my political perspective. Owning my own business, having employees, having to make payrolls, all those things rolled in, skewed the way I thought about politics towards the conservative side of most issues. American economics have always intrigued me. As a business guy, X's and O's, dollars and cents have always kind of been important. Watching Washington, D.C. run the biggest business on earth, the American economy, long ago captured my focus. Tax and spend economics keep the country running as fast as it can on that wheel that the hamster spends so much time on. You see him all the time. You probably had one when you were a kid. Put that wheel in his cage and he gets on that thing and just runs for hours. The results are the same for the hamster and the United States. Running on that wheel doesn't make the hamster any thinner, nor does it the United States. I've looked on as politicians have expanded the government to unnecessary and unsustainable levels. We're $20 trillion in debt, with over $100 trillion of real debt. They call it unfunded liabilities in the form of pensions, Social Security, Medicare benefits. American tax dollars are gobbled up to feed the behemoth and keep it alive. They call it the economy. Those same politicians who are elected to run the country in a balanced and equitable way for its owners, us, American citizens, have grown to ignore their responsibilities to the people. That didn't happen overnight either. We all kind of went to sleep at the wheel. things got so good, we got so busy that we just kind of turned our backs on D.C. and said, y'all take care of it. You know what? It didn't happen because that's what we wanted. It happened because the glitter of politics and political might and power have consumed all things and all those who live and work inside the Beltway. Our elected and hired government representatives in D.C. Most of them don't even recognize it, just like we haven't. And I'll say it again. We let it happen. I'm told one can put a frog in a bowl of cold water, set the bowl on a stove burner at a low temperature, and watch the frog die from boiling as the water temperature in that bowl gets above 212 degrees. That's boiling. The frog could at any time easily jump out of the bowl, save itself, but it doesn't recognize the danger of the slow boiling of the water he is living in until it's too late. I'm scared we Americans may be swimming in a bowl of water that has been on the fire for a long time, the temperature way, 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 way low. But the temperature of the water is slowly rising, steadily rising too. And we haven't yet recognized it. Or if we've recognized it, we certainly haven't done anything about it. We're still in the bowl. And if and when we recognize the water's getting dangerously hot, it may be too late for us to jump out. I'm going to depart from our normal routine at the Truth News Network right here. As I do, I'm going to apologize right now to those of our members who read these stories instead of listening. The balance of today's offering is very personal to me. I want to share it from my heart. I can best do that by speaking instead of just writing. When we read stories, at least when I read stories, it's hard to confirm the emotion of the writer. Words always have emotions that are integral in shaping the message of the words. But if you don't listen to the words and you just read them, often we miss the message. Please turn the page with me this one time and let me do this differently. Come to the podcast to finish it with me. I think you'll understand once you get going over there. And I'm sharing the things that have prompted this chapter at the Truth News Network in the podcast. One final note before we go to pure audio. If doing this creates a problem for you, I apologize in advance. I do not wish to intrude in the way any share these stories. I am thankful that you share them with us. Please humor me this one time. I'll make it up to you somehow. So flip over there. If you're on a non-Apple device, scroll down to the bottom of the story and click on Listen Here or Play Here. If you're on an Apple device, that button is at the top. Join me in the podcast. And thank you for joining us at the Truth News Network.
Uncertain about what you see and hear in mainstream media?
Worried about getting the truth?
No worries anymore.
Get the truth, only the truth,
at TNN, the Truth News Network.
TruthNewsNet.org.
And you found me. Again, we're just going to do this one time. I want to talk to you from my heart today, and I can't do that. You can't hear me, you can't really listen to me and feel what I'm feeling unless we share it this way. Perspective today, our story, is basically a challenge to you to get your arms around your perspective on living in the United States of America. You know, a lot of our perspective is shaped by what we read, what we listen to, who we see, where we go, who our family members are, our own personal experiences in life, all those kind of things shape our perspective. But you know what? We choose. Most of the input that we get in our lives, who it comes from, who we accept it from, who we reject it from, our entertainment, all of those things rolled into our lives shape our perspective. And as you're doing that, I know everyone's different. Everybody's got a different perspective, and that's the way it's supposed to be. But I want you to consider some things with me today. And listen, this is not a religious show, but we've got to find some foundation, some basic starting points to have a conversation so you can understand exactly where I am and where I'm going with this. If you do not believe in a creator, that's okay. I'm not denigrating you and will not ever denigrate you for that. But if you don't believe in a creator, I do know this about you. You're a thinker. You think through a lot of things. And that's what I want you to do with me today. I want to create a perspective in your mind of how I think so you can understand this whole story that we're sharing together today. I believe in God. I believe God created man, and I believe God created everything around us. I don't understand it, but I chose to believe it. Just as if you don't believe in a creator, you chose to not believe in a creator. And it's okay for both of us. But to understand my perspective, use that as the basis for what I am about to tell you. I believe God created Adam and God created Eve. I believe in the Bible. And so because of that, it explains a lot of things and fills in some empty blanks for me that, you know, you may have figured out for yourself if you don't believe in the Creator, if you don't believe in God, but I've never been able to understand that. So maybe you're smarter than me, even though I made a perfect score on the ACTs. But that being said, it's your perspective, and that's fine. Everybody has one. It doesn't matter. And I'm not trying to tell, we say this in our bumpers, in our intros, in our liners all the time. We don't tell you what to think. We want you to think about a lot of things. So we give you a lot of things to think about, and this is one of those shows. So that's my foundation for a lot of things in my life. My businesses, my personal relationships, my family, and what I do with my time and who my friends are. And I want to talk to you about friends. Even deeper than that, I want to talk to you about relationships. You know, one of the big missing things in America today is that we don't talk to each other. We may talk at each other. We may scream at each other. But we are far too quick in our relationships with others to slam doors, to pull the wool down, to tune out, not to listen. And even when we listen, we don't hear. If you're married, and I'm pretty sure most people listening to this are married or have been married, two become one, two stays two. Even when two become one, there are two perspectives there. And what happens is for those two to work together and stay together and build a life together, a lasting life together, a relationship develops. And it's built on respect, communication, and understanding. Part of our problem in the United States of America today, why we see such uproar in American politics, is because we don't bring that type of relationship into the rest of the world with us. It stops in our little purview. We don't let it go outside any longer. I've explained it this way for a long time. It's like we build our lives in four walls, a ceiling, and a floor of mirrors. When we live in that, the only thing we ever see is ourselves and what and who we allow to come in that little cube with us. Nobody else is even existing. They don't even apply to us anymore. So when something else tries to come into our world, we immediately just slam the door and close it out. Or someone else, or some other ideas other than those that we've allowed in our mirror cube with us. That's not the way life exists. And what that does is it turns everyone into individuals instead of everyone being part of something. To be part of a country, to be part of a family. Yeah, you're born into a family, but people get married and people have friends and people have outstanding relatives that aren't from your immediate family. To work together and create something there, people have to allow others to come into that cube with them. Of course, the easiest thing to do is just break all the mirrors, open all the doors, open all the relationships, learn to know people. Even though I said this is not a religious show, let me just share this. The guy that wrote most of the Bible, Paul, his original name was Saul. He was a really smart guy. He was a member of the Sanhedrin court. He hated Christianity. In fact, one of his jobs in the Jewish Sanhedrin court was to find and expose Christians and even persecute them, and in some cases kill them. He actually killed Christians just for being Christians. He had an encounter with Jesus. Early in his life, he turned and walked away from that old life, became a believer, and started preaching the gospel, the word about Jesus all over the world then. He established churches all over the Middle East. And he is given credit for so many things about Christianity that exist today because he established them so many years ago. So he spent the rest of his life doing nothing but that. At the end of his life, and I had to give you that little preface to get to this. At the end of his life, in the book of Philippians, the 3rd chapter, 10th verse, he said, that I may know him. And he's saying, after he has spent his life giving every waking moment to working for God, who he met, he prayed to, he has a personal relationship with it. He's developed over all these years. He's led all kinds of people, thousands and thousands, probably millions of people to know Jesus Christ. Here he is saying, basically at the end of his life, I don't know him. Or he's asking this question. Do I really know him? Or do I just know about him? That's where I am in all this today. I think when I look around and I see and hear the vitriolic responses and insinuations and shouts in anger and horror every day in every media venue in the United States, people take sides on every issue. Nobody talks to each other. Nobody communicates with each other. In Congress, it's the same thing. Chuck Schumer, the majority leader in the Senate, said laughingly, not on microphone, but said it publicly, when the new immigration bill was being debated in the House and it was going to go across the hall to the Senate, and it was inclusive of so many things that the Democrats wanted. He laughed and said, we can't even think about even debating that bill in the Senate. Democrats can't afford to let this president and the Republicans win on any issue like this. That's absolutely crazy. And the seed of that is not talking to each other. It's not sitting down and finding common ground. Because we're not in relationship with people, we no longer have that. We have the internet. We have our smartphones. We have our computers. We have our games. We have social media. And I'm not denigrating any of that. It's all wonderful. It makes the world smaller. It gives us the opportunity for greater education, more knowledge. We just don't take advantage of that. We fall into that and make that what we do. Instead of being with others and communicating in relationship with other people. Now, I told you I grew up in South Louisiana. And people in South Louisiana are a little bit different. Very, very family-oriented. Very, very friendly. We lived in one neighborhood for most of my young life. And there were about 8 blocks. And the way we defined blocks, it was literally streets that ran parallel and perpendicular, and inside each one of those squares, the parallel and perpendicular streets formed. That was the block that you lived in, and in each one of those, there were about 20 homes. And in most cases, people in South Louisiana back in the 70s, 60s and 70s, had something to do in the oil business. And so they came and went. They would move in, jobs would transfer them in, they'd stay a year or two, and then they would get transferred out. Most of them either went to or came from South Texas. And so what that meant was there were always kids. Kids moving in, kids leaving. It was really difficult for me when kids would move away on my block because I had, it was just one of those things. The new kids move in, you immediately go introduce yourself. You find commonality. What do they like to do? Where are they going to go to school? Do they like to play baseball, football? You know, what's their favorite sports? Who are their favorite sports heroes? And you just form a bond and you do that through communication and relationship. And so we'd become best friends. After school, we were together, inseparable. Back then, the only time our parents said or were concerned about us being at home was when it got dark. And on the weekends, it was, you know, make sure you come home for lunch and then make sure you're home before it gets dark. We wouldn't leave the neighborhood without permission. That was just the way it was. But the reason for that was we got in relationship with people around us. And I'm not saying people don't have friends, and I'm not saying people don't involve themselves in relationships. I'm saying it's different now. It seems like we all have walls around us, and certain things never about us get outside that wall, and certain things about people that live outside that wall never are allowed in. So I would be willing to bet, in most cases, the people you sit next to at your work, if you're a student, the people that sit across the aisle from you in school, if you sat down with them and they sat down with you and you both were going to write on a list 20 things that they know about the person sitting across the aisle or next to them in an adjacent desk, I doubt if anybody could come up with 20 personal things about the opposite person that we're talking about. And here's what I'm saying. God established relationships. The very reason he created Adam was God was lonely. He wanted somebody to communicate with. The Bible says that. In Genesis, it says that was his reason for doing that. And he and Adam walked and talked together about God's creation. Adam was learning from God. God was sharing his thoughts with Adam. It was relationship. And then Adam got lonely and God gave him Eve, a wife. And that's the way things socially got started. We've gone away from that. And that's affected every part of our world, especially including our politics. And I got some more stuff I want to talk about. I hope this isn't boring you. I hope you understand a little bit more about my perspective. And there's more. We'll be right back at the Truth News Network. Sit tight.
We're here asking people from all over what they think of Lipton green tea. Let's hear what people from Texas have to say.
Mm-mm.
How about China?
Mm.
Germany?
Mm.
How about people from the North Pole?
Mm.
Or Mars? What about mimes? Oh, right. People with their jaws wired shut?
Oh.
Yeah, a barbershop quartet.
Mm.
Mm. Oh, you guys are great. How about race car drivers?
Mm.
Yeah, what about you, high school glee club, here on a field trip?
Mm.
Mm. Well, that settles it. It sounds like everyone loves the taste of Lipton green tea. With its protective antioxidants from real tea, it's not just good for you, it's mmm to you. Lipton tea can do that.
Getting tired of only spin while looking for just the news? No spin, just truth. Read and hear it every day on TNN, the Truth News Network.
TruthNewsNet.org.
Yes, today's a little bit different. We're doing principally podcast and talking about relationships right now. And now we're going to segue into relationships as it pertains to the United States of America outside of our little circles of influence and in the world around us. Politics, you know, because of instant 24/7 media, we're inundated with facts and opinions of those in Washington, D.C., New York City, L.A., around the world about what's going on. So many of us are just numbed by our lack of relationship time and commitment and the glut of time we spend getting involved in things like social media, our busy, busy lives, taking care of children. Moms, I'm not saying that is not ultimately important. It is. Dads, spending time with your kids and your spouses is critical. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about concentrating on the important things. Before you do that, you've got to sit down and determine what things should be gobbling up your time and attention. We all must do that. Most of the time, because there are so many options out there, and because they change, they're morphed, they're edited in our lives every day, even before we get up, we don't have time to plan and prepare. We just fly by the seat of our pants. What we see, what we hear, that's what we think about. We need to be careful about our time and our concentration. You only have so much of it. You don't have 24 hours a day. You got to sleep at least 6 or 7 hours of that. So what are you going to do with your time? What are you going to concentrate on? Who are you going to do it with? And how much of it are you going to do with others? Let's talk about our concentration on the government. First of all, obviously, it's seldom that we can have personal relationships with those who govern us. There are 535 people in Congress. There's a whole presidential administration of people. Washington, D.C. is full of federal bureaucrats. Very seldom is it that we're going to know about them. Now, we each have local representatives. We have local government representatives and state government representatives. It's a lot easier to get to know those kind of people, and they're very, very important too. But those aren't the guys and the girls that we hear and see on television and radio all day, every day. The ones that we see and hear, ones we get beat up with, are the ones on national broadcast entities, radio, satellite, and television. Let's talk about those people for a second. First of all, you need to understand this one thing. I can't stand the way President Trump tweets. And when he has his campaign rallies, I find myself catching my breath at certain times about certain things that he says about certain people. But you know this? Even though I don't like it, and I wish he would message in other ways. I wish he would tone it down. I don't know his heart. I don't know his mind. I think things. And first of all, I'll tell you this. I think he's a very smart man. I think he's very knowledgeable. He's got a great education. He did well in some really, really outrageously difficult schools and universities. He's been a very successful businessman. He's worldly in his knowledge of economics and business, and he's learning about politics. His messaging, well, he's from Queens. That side of Manhattan, they're pretty rough. You know, they communicate in different ways. They're very matter of fact. And of course, we all come from where we come from. And we speak that way, and we communicate that way. So even though I wish all of that, I don't have the right or the authority to think badly about the President of the United States. And I certainly don't have the right or the authority to talk bad about him. Again, I'll go back to the scriptures. We're supposed to honor those that are put in authority over us. And, you know, lots of parents tell their kids that, but they stop there. Why should we honor those put in authority over us? The last part of that scripture says, so our days on earth will be long. There's a give and take there. We give honor and respect for those in authority over us. We're promised that we'll live longer. Now, who is that that's put in authority over us? When we're young, it's our kids, school teachers, coaches, principals. As we grow older, it's our employers, our managers in our companies, the politicians that are elected to serve us at a state, local, and federal level. Now, does that mean that when our candidate is not elected, that we're supposed to automatically turncoat on the guy or the girl that is elected that we did not want in office? No, that doesn't give us that right and that authority. Now, we can have differing opinions, and we most often do. When President Obama was elected, I didn't vote for him. Had nothing to do with his color, had nothing to do with his background. I didn't believe in the policies that he espoused for the United States of America. But I didn't denigrate him. I didn't talk bad about him. I respected him. I respected the office of the U.S. presidency. That's the way I was brought up. That's a choice that I made in relationships in my life. That's the things that I think are tearing this nation apart. We see on liberal and on conservative television shows, we hear it on liberal and conservative radio shows, where none of that, none of the principles that have been so successful in this country, that have made Americans the greatest culture on earth, the greatest economy, the wealthiest country on earth, the most powerful country on earth. Those things didn't just happen. It came from a multitude of responsibilities being accepted, relationships being formed and nurtured, communication happening on an ongoing basis, creating a desire, sales and purchases. All of those things work together to create an environment of success. You don't see that same thing when you go to South America, or you go to Africa, or parts of Indonesia, Malaysia, and Southeast Asia. Even in some countries in Europe, you don't see that. And it's because that whole model was never part of their culture. And even though many in the U.S. don't like to accept it, it came from the way this country was birthed and the foundation its founders built on the ground floor, implemented and created and taught their children, and their children taught their children, and it's filtered down through generations. Unfortunately, in this environment, when we turn on the television and we watch these news shows, it's not about anything creative or positive or discussing pros and cons and finding commonality. It's about denigrating the person with a different opinion. And you know what? Facts are one thing. Opinions are another thing. And opinions don't change facts. One of the liners that Pete Moss, that does the liners in the opens and close for this program, one of the liners he does is, just because you think something's wrong doesn't mean it's wrong. And just because you think something's right doesn't mean it's right. Okay? Instead of accepting our differences and finding common ground, and one of the things in common ground may be that we're just going to disagree, that's okay. But just because you don't think the same way I do doesn't mean you're a horrible person, and it certainly doesn't mean I'm a horrible person. It means we have different opinions. But you know what? We're Americans. We're honored to live in the greatest country on earth. We should respect that. Now, let me get back to that bowl of boiling water as we wind down here. We're in that bowl. And people like me, and it's not just me, there are a bunch of other people that do it, but there are a lot of people that know we got trouble. And I saw it kind of being birthed back in the 60s. I was young. I started the high school in 1967, graduated in 71. At the end of that decade, the hippie revolution was going on, the drug revolution came in, the Vietnam War fueled a lot of that, but people did not like what was going on in the American government. They didn't like the fact that that war in Vietnam was so unnecessary in most people's minds, that we should have never been involved in that, that we never really could figure out that we wanted to beat the Vietnam, that we wanted the Vietnamese, that we wanted to have a war and get it over with. And it just went on and on and on. And thousands of people died, gave their lives. And so that prompted a generation of people to start crying about what was going on and demanding change. And so that generation of people are the people that are the parents and the grandparents today. And so they saw the change coming and the change as it was made. And you know what? It was made because people agreed to disagree and find some other commonality and move along together. It was a revolution. It changed the way the previous generation thought about the world, about living in the United States of America, and it made the important things be recognized and accepted, and the things that weren't important put away. You know, the last time that kind of change took place before Vietnam and before the 60s, World War II. And that's when folks, our grandparents and their parents, realized that we really do live in the greatest nation on earth. And freedom isn't free. Somebody's got to pay the price. And when thousands and thousands and thousands of people lay down their lives to protect and preserve for generations to come freedom, justice, and liberty, that means something. Relationships mean more to those people than they do to most people that live in the United States today. We've got to understand there is a revolution, and it's pending. And is it going to be one that's going to tear this country apart, tear apart the greatest country in world history? Is it going to do away with liberty and justice for all and freedom? Are we going to go the way of socialist and totalitarian countries in the past that not one of exists today? None of them have ever worked. But yet we have many people in the United States, because they don't communicate, they don't read, they don't listen, they don't understand, that think that's a real option, even though it's never worked anywhere in human history. It's never lasted. It's torn people apart. Human nature is just that. It's human nature, and it can be molded. We can determine how we think, what we prioritize, and develop our perspective. As we finish today, and I appreciate you tolerating this different way of doing one of these podcasts and stories. Thanks for listening to me. I want you to think that things are changing. You know, I'm from that generation where our parents didn't like change at all either. 60s came around, the long hair, the Beatles, rock music, all those kind of things were new or aberration. We've got to find ways to accept change, but we got to find the right changes and make them. And to do that successfully, we got to do it together. We got to talk to each other. We got to get into relationship. We've got to have trust. We have to believe and honor those in authority over us. If it's going to work, we're going to have to work together. Back in my DJ days, there was a song that came out about this, a revolution. We're going to close with this. Listen to the words of Thunderclap Newman, "Something in the Air."
And you know that it's right.
And that tells a story, folks. We've got to get it together. We've got to get it together now. We've got to communicate. We've got to build relationships with people that are different. We've got to honor those in authority over us. We've got to work together to make it work. That's the only way we're going to preserve the greatest country on the face of the earth, the United States of America. And we can do it. We can't wait. We've got to start now. And that means there's a part for you to play, part for me to play. We're all in this together. And the Truth News Network, we're committed to help work it out with you in partnership. Thank you so much for allowing me to do this different show today. We're starting the week off the right way at the Truth News Network because you're here, your family. Thank you for being a part of this and joining us every day. Load your email at the bottom of the homepage. You'll get a link every night. There's a new story or podcast that goes up, and you won't miss a thing. Thanks a lot.
Undeniably the go-to source for nonpartisan, spin-free news from the world.
Real truth, real news. TNN, the Truth News Network.